Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Michelle Hebert. We're going to talk about yoga and meditation in the workplace. If you have any questions, please go ahead and pose a question in the chat room, or you can go ahead and Twitter at hashtag Apple Capital, or you can go ahead and call the studios at 347-324-3460. Again, that's 347-324-3460. Michelle, welcome to the program. Michelle, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tim. It's a pleasure to be here.
I guess to begin with, our listeners like to get personal views and kind of a personal bio on the person. So if you don't mind, take a moment and tell us about yourself.
Oh, I'd be delighted to. I've actually been teaching yoga and meditation now for 37 years. And I've brought it to the corporate world. I brought it into the hospital setting, as well as teaching at different spas, and have applied it to many different areas of life. And what I find is, though I've been teaching that long, I'm still a student. And there's no end to the road of personal growth, as there's always new aspects of ourselves to grow and develop. I actually got into yoga and meditation because I was inspired by a great teacher. My first yoga class was after I moved from Cleveland to San Francisco in my 20s, and I tried out a yoga class with a legendary yoga master, Walt Baptiste. He strongly emphasized the importance of breath. And after that first class, I noticed that my mood lifted, and I felt lighter and brighter and happier. In fact, my new book, The Tenth Door, tells the story of the first 7 years of my yoga journey with him. So it's been a wonderful road, and I'm delighted to be able to share some of the benefits of it with your listeners.
Well, kind of tell us, what is the difference between what is yoga and what is meditation? Are they the same in one?
Actually, that's a wonderful question because many people confuse the issue. Yoga actually is 5,000 years old, but the physical postures did not come into being till about 600 years ago. So the physical aspect of yoga is relatively new. However, that's the part of yoga that has become very popular in the United States. Originally, yoga was meditation, and now it's developed into also more of an emphasis on the whole being, including the physical body. So meditation is a practice where we learn how to get beyond the mind to a place of deep center within ourselves, of deep calm and stillness. Where hatha yoga, the physical postures, involve more of the physical body, bringing the mind and body together to one whole unit.
Mm-hmm.
So does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. How can a person, you know, get into yoga? It still seems foreign. It doesn't seem like it's reachable. And we, in our busy lives, how can you say, hey, this is what you need to do to get started?
You know, people come to yoga for many reasons, and I get students with serious health issues, people with back issues, people with different kind of therapeutic problems, and people that just feel like they're under a lot of stress and they really need to do something for themselves in their lives. And It's taking that first step. And what I usually recommend to people is to try 3 or 4 different classes and see which one resonates with you, because so much of it has to do with the teacher and your relationship with that teacher, whether it's mm-hmm. someone that you connect with or not.
Okay. So if you go, for example, do you just pick up a Yellow Pages or look online, and do you just go and sample a few teachers, and what should you ask a teacher that you know?
Well, I would say, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off.
No, good.
I would say that, first of all, talk to a friend. If you have a friend who's practicing yoga, then ask them. And also the idea is looking around. It usually people find that if the place that they go to take yoga is close to them and convenient, they're more apt to do it. And that's why it's so tremendous that so many of the companies and corporations are bringing yoga into the workplace, because it's much more convenient to just take a class of either yoga or meditation when it's right there on the premises.
So as if we look at yoga in the workplace, or yoga and meditation in the workplace, what things they should do to try to incorporate yoga? Should they take like so many breaks throughout the day, mental breaks, or should they add maybe additional 15 minutes to lunch? Or if, you know, if you start at 8 o'clock, your lunch is not too really noonish or 11-ish, should somewhere in the half-hour break or maybe half point, should they take maybe 12 minutes, just 12 minutes, say calm everything down and maybe do shifts. Okay, this part of the office, you do this, and this gives you your 15-minute break, you do this, you know, besides taking your restroom break, but kind of how can you incorporate that in the workplace?
Uh-huh. Well, I'd like to answer that question by giving you some examples of what other companies
okay.
are doing.
Sure.
So one of the big ones is Aetna. Now, Aetna Insurance Company found that stress was one of the top 3 drivers among their employees' health status. And as a result, it developed a yoga and meditation-based stress management course that 10% of its 33,000 employees have been through. Then, after developing the course, in partnership with Duke University Medical School, they went through some rigorous research on the program. And the research found this: $2,000 was saved annually in health costs by people with the lowest stress compared to those with the highest stress. And that's on an individual employee level, $2,000 saved annually in health costs by people with the lowest stress. There was a 33% reduction in stress just taking one yoga class per week. And this alone has huge implications in the bottom line for companies. Stress is the cause of many diseases and injuries, resulting in absenteeism, which is a huge loss for companies on many levels. And many insurance companies reduce health care premiums for companies that provide wellness programs to their employees. So that's a big one, and to have somebody like Aetna do that research. Now, another CEO to bring meditation to her company recently is none other mm-hmm. than Oprah. And at first, she says there were only 7 employees. Then it grew to 70, and this is meditation, then 270, and now all 400 people stop what they are doing twice a day, and this answers your question, Tim, at 9 a.m.,
wow.
and 4:30 p.m. and meditate for 20 minutes. So whatever they're doing, if they're in the middle of a meeting, everyone stops and meditates. And she says you can't imagine what is happening to her company. People who used to have migraines don't. People are sleeping better. People have better relationships. People interact with other people better. Now, Forbes magazine recently published an article on Oprah's meditation program and suggested that meditation might be helpful to startup companies and entrepreneurs that are interested in not just the bottom line, although, of course, that's vital, but in also in making the world a better place. Now, one other example is a client of mine here in San Diego who's the CEO of a small company called Cambridge Corporation with 25 employees. Now, once a week, he provides a one-hour yoga class followed by 15 minutes of meditation during lunch hour, and the employees who participate receive a complimentary lunch. In addition to the health benefits, he tells me that there is a bonding that is created among the participants that is priceless. So in addition to the research showing that, for example, yoga is one of the number one practices that help reduce back pain, and back pain is one of the big reasons for absenteeism in this country, it also reduces stress. So there's an awful lot going on under the surface between what just looks like a simple meditation practice. And actually, go ahead.
No. Well, tell us about when it comes to meditation. Okay, let's separate the yoga and the meditation. So tell us exactly what a person in the workplace can do for yoga. What is Oprah doing with her staff during those times? I mean, are they... the lights are dim, and then they and their cubicles doing something, or they do things collectively. Kind of tell us what is the yoga or the meditation practices that they do there at her studios.
Well, I don't know that they offer yoga. I'm not sure about that, but what she was specifically referring to was meditation, and I think that she is devoting to actually 40 minutes a day. But it doesn't have to be that long. You know, you can have tremendous benefits from just stopping for 2 minutes a couple of times during the day. And it can be done on an individual basis as well. So if you're at your computer, I mean, people don't necessarily have to know that you're doing this, but you can stop and do a very simple practice to pull the mind, bring the mind together, so all of our outgoing energies, and bring it back into ourselves for one unit. You know, there was a very interesting research study done by Hewlett-Packard recently, and it was revolved around the idea of technology. And the technology and our advancements in technology have a positive side as well as a negative side. And this particular study actually was commissioned by Hewlett-Packard, and it looked at the number of times during the day that employees look at their email, text, and also have phone conversations that pull people away from what they're doing. And they found that the amount of distractions that we have at the workplace through these technologies are lower the IQ to the same level as smoking marijuana. And this was a 2005 study done by a company like Hewlett-Packard. So the amount of distraction means that people aren't really concentrating on their work to the level that they could. And the creativity that can come out to the level that the possibilities just is not happening. So meditation, what that does is it helps take all that distraction and we pull ourselves back to our center. And then from there, when we come out again, we're able to be more effective in whatever it is we're doing.
Okay, so tell us examples. Tell us examples on actually how do you meditate.
What, would you like me to give you a little two-minute one right now and the people who are listening can join us?
Absolutely.
The only thing, I want to give a caveat, if they're driving right now, do not follow the directions, but just listen with interest and you can do it when you get to wherever you're going.
Okay.
All right, so I ask people to sit up with a straight spine, both feet firmly on the ground, eyes gently closed, and focus on a calm, steady breath through the nostrils. And as you breathe, looking for the evenness of the breath flow, both nostrils evenly and equally. So slowly breathing in, slowly breathing out. Good. Now, as you breathe in, mentally repeat the word peace. And as you breathe out, repeat the word harmony, just with the mind. So breathing in peace, breathing out harmony. Feeling the evenness of the breath, calming the mind. Breathing into peace, breathing out to harmony. Good. Okay. You can open your eyes. That was just a little mini example, and you can take it for a longer, and depending on the needs. So if you find yourself in a state of imbalance or being very upset about something, it may take a little bit longer to calm yourself down, but you just take that time to do that. And it's amazing when you come back out into whatever you're doing, things look differently.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have any questions about that?
No, that's really simple. I mean, I thought it would be more complicated. Now, with that, if you're in your cubicle, in your office, you can easily do that because you just can close the door. But in the cubicle, that's normally what you can do that in your cubicle, or should you go to a quiet place? How can you reduce the noise around you?
Well, it's wonderful to be able to have a quiet place. I mean, ideally, to have a place where you're absolutely still is perfect, but life doesn't happen that way. And so to be able to do these things in the middle of what's going on around us is a wonderful habit and a practice to develop. So certainly right in the cubicle, and nobody has to know. It can just be done quietly. You can lower your eyelids. You don't even have to close the eyes. But and it's practical, too. And I had one great teacher who said, you know, just 2 minutes. Every time you get in the car, before you turn on the keys to the car, just sit for 2 minutes. And what that does is it pulls the mind and body together. Now, it was interesting, it's sort of cute. James Joyce started one of his novels with the sentence, "Mr. Duffy lived a short distance from his body." And for many of we can relate to that. You know, how often are we doing something or our physical body is sitting or doing something and our mind is a million miles away? And we're not really effective when we're not in the present moment. So practices that can bring us into the present moment to do to be where we are. And of course, our power is in the present moment. And that's when we're the most productive, and we can really make a strong mark on the world when we're very present. And meditation and yoga both help bring the mind and body to the present moment.
We're going to take a break real quick, and then we're going to pick right back up when we left off. We'll be back in a moment with Michelle Aber. We're talking about yoga and meditation in the workplace. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida, is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquin.
Again, our topic today is yoga and meditation in the workplace with Michelle Ebert. I guess to talk about nutrition, also you specialize in natural nutrition. How does that play a part of this whole picture of being healthy, mind, body, and spirit?
Well, it's certainly a very important part of the whole picture. And part of my training, and again, I talk about this in the book. I have a chapter on nutrition. Part of my training is that we want to develop ourselves in all areas. So physically to be strong, well, and healthy. Mentally to have a clear, strong mind. Emotionally balanced. And when we are balanced in all these areas, physically, mentally, and emotionally, then the spirit naturally shines through. Nutrition is part of the physical. So we have the exercise as being one arm of that, and the nutrition is another very vital part of it, of course. It's interesting what's coming out now with the food industry and the area of obesity in this country, and what we eat has a lot to do with how we see the world, with how we function. It has a lot to do with our mood. Food and mood is directly related. I'll give you an example. If you have a high carbohydrate lunch, so you go out to lunch and you have a big bowl of spaghetti or pasta, you are going to be very sleepy in the afternoon and not very productive. But if you go out and have a protein lunch, you know, some chicken, a chicken salad or a tuna salad or something like that, you're going to be more alert for the rest of the day. So there are ways that we can actually choose food to decide what we want our energy levels and alertness to be. And part of this means that we have to educate ourselves, and part of it is to experiment what works for us, because no two people have the same nutritional needs.
Mm-hmm.
So the nutrition and the idea of eating food that is alive. Now, I'm not a raw foodist, but I do try to have 40 to 50% of what I eat be raw food, because they're filled with enzymes. So raw foods, when they're not overly cooked, are filled with life force and enzymes, and they really have a lot to do with the kind of energy that we have to call on. So I think of nutrition as being very important, and also as a prevention for disease. So the companies, the forward-thinking companies, are moving towards prevention in their in developing programs for their employees. And nutritional education is a good part of that idea of prevention. So
okay.
Down the road, we're healthier.
And regarding spirituality, how does that play a part of this whole puzzle as well?
Well, you know, sometimes people get confused with the word spirituality because, so there was one great yoga master who said, God made man and man made religion. And so spirituality is not, but it's true. I mean, everybody can agree to that. However, the whole idea of spirituality is our connection with the essence of who we really are within ourselves, which is spirit. And so sometimes people have an idea that a yoga and meditation is more of a religious practice, when really, in fact, it is not. And it can be a spiritual practice for people, but it's definitely not a religious practice. And as far as meditation goes, meditation has been in throughout the ages in many cultures and wisdom traditions, and is not necessarily a religious practice at all, although many of the different religions do have a form of meditation within their practices. So, does that answer your question?
It does. One last question regarding yoga. When it comes to yoga, kind of tell us, draw a mental picture for us on what you normally do with yoga. Do you sit? Some people have the perception you sit on the floor with your legs crossed and hands outward,
mm-hmm.
and you're meditating at the same time. Kind of tell us a mental picture so people can understand what is the correct way of yoga is supposed to look like.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you referring to meditation or yoga?
Yoga.
Or the hatha yoga, which is the postures. Okay,
postures.
Because what you described was a meditation position, one of the many meditation positions. But meditation can be done sitting on a chair, sitting at your
mm-hmm.
desk. It can be done any time where our spine is erect, we close our eyes, and we move into that deeper place of calm within. So we're not so caught up in the mind. Hatha yoga, on the other hand, there are many different kinds of hatha yoga, many different styles. Hatha yoga, remember, is the postures, the positions, and the breathing exercises. And there are many styles. Now, sometimes you hear, many people have the impression that yoga is hard, because there are some styles out there that are very athletically oriented. However, there are also styles that are much gentler, and other styles that really emphasize the breath. Most of us have not learned how to breathe correctly. We think we know how to breathe, but unless we've taken lessons, because we've taken singing lessons, or perhaps we've, as a kid we played the flute, or some people with asthma learn how to breathe and utilize the full breathing apparatus. Most people do not. And that is a very important aspect of yoga. So it's hard for me to answer your question as far as like visualizing a particular session. Now, when I teach a yoga class myself, I try to incorporate different postures and positions, which is very helpful to the internal organs and the cardiovascular system and all the systems of the body. But I also include a lot of breathing, because breath is life, and I really do feel that the more we can breathe fully, the better we feel. And then I do incorporate some meditation in my yoga classes. So it's the three prongs, I guess you would say, the physical movements, the breathing, and then a short meditation during the session.
Okay.
And I try to make
Go ahead. You try that?
No, I was just going to say I try to make it successful for people so they don't feel like, you know, they're being, you know, they're way beyond their ability to do things. And I think you
okay.
want to look for a teacher that really has that understanding.
Okay. In closing, and talking about your book that currently you have out and where we can get it, can you talk about your book real quick regarding the 10
I would love to talk about my book. You know, my book came out about a year ago. It's The Tenth Door, An Adventure Through the Jungles of Enlightenment. And since that time, it's won 6 awards. It's won 5 national awards and the San Diego Book Award. And it's actually a truth-seeking journey of my first 7 years of yoga and spiritual training with my legendary yoga and meditation master, Walt Baptiste. And this took place in San Francisco, as well as 4 years in the jungles of El Salvador, mostly in solitude. And it tells about the tests that he put me through and brings to life the teachings shared by many wisdom traditions and their relevance to modern living. Now, you have to imagine a 28-year-old woman fresh out of Cleveland, alone on a remote beach retreat in Central America during a revolution. No Spanish, no telephone, no internet, no cell phone, sometimes electricity, in charge of 25 machete-carrying workers who were building the retreat. Was it risky? Yes. But here's what I learned. We all take risks, and we all have our pitfalls and jungles. And we all have the capacity to break through our limitations. And so I wrote The Tenth Door to help people learn ways of overcoming our inner obstacles to discover your authentic self. And what I learned and bring out in the book is the way of balance. In order to achieve true health, we need a balanced lifestyle. And to improve all aspects of ourselves physically through nutrition and exercise, and mentally through right thinking, and spiritually through meditation. So if people are interested in the book, Amazon carries the book, The Tenth Door. And do you mind if I give my website?
Oh, please.
So my website is rajayogis.net. That's Raja, RajaYogis.net. And also, Tim, your listeners might be interested, if they're interested in continuing with this idea of meditation, on my website I do carry meditation CDs where it's my voice taking people through a meditation process.
Perfect. And give us that website address again.
It's www.rajayogis.net.
Wow. Well, I really appreciate it. Any last comments you'd like to leave our listeners with?
You know, I'm going to leave you with a thought that my teacher left with me, and that is, practice, 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 lo, behold, the goal. So to practice these practices on a daily basis will bring such revelation and such inner strength to every person that does it that I really encourage you to give it a try and incorporate it into your life.
Great. Well, I really appreciate you coming on to the show and kind of sharing us with the past 30 minutes about yoga and the difference between yoga and meditation and how we can incorporate it in the workplace. Michelle, I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Tim. Have a beautiful day. Bye-bye.
Same here. Take care. Bye-bye. Hi, this has been another production of the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. And we ask you to go in and write some comments about your experience on these shows and these topics. If you do have a topic, feel free to email us at info@applecapitalgroup. We're going to launch our new website next month. It's still in development, and you can start sending emails and information there and look at the monthly shows. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.